Hey, this is Darlene Hertz with U Empowered Services and Team Referral Network in St. Louis. And if you want to learn the six and seven figure science to success, significantly increase your revenue, and learn how to successfully build professional relationships, you should be listening to the Sell Without Selling podcast with my good friend, Stacey O'Byrne.
If you're ready to get out of your own way to follow the seven figure science of success, then welcome to Sell Without Selling. Tune in with renowned international speaker Stacey O'Byrne as she shows you how mastering relationships, achieving the proper mindset, and attaining the necessary motivation will catapult you away from failure and onto your journey to greatness. And now, here is your host, Stacey O'Byrne.
Hi, I'm Stacey O'Byrne, and I get to hang out with successful entrepreneurs, business owners, sales professionals, and some of the top business influencers and thought leaders in the world. You see, I believe that it's important to learn the art and science of how to sell without selling, and that is the only way to achieve six and seven figure success. So, if you want to be a success magnet, attract quality people in your network, and significantly increase your sales and ultimately your success, then you're in the right place, because this is the Sell Without Selling podcast.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Sell Without Selling. I'm your host, Stacey O'Byrne, and today I'm speaking with a really good friend of mine, Darlene Hertz. Darlene Hertz is the founder and president of U Empowered Services. She's an NLP trainer, master coach, author, speaker, and franchise owner of Team Referral Network. Through her training and coaching business, Darlene helps professional women move past the need to please mindset and create the life they dream of, desire, and deserve. We share that in common. Darlene also offers coaching for women who seek personal growth within their spiritual development. Darlene chose to recreate herself after she celebrated her 50th birthday. She is the author of Journey of Intention, Life Made to Order. As a franchise owner, she creates an environment of excellence and provides face-to-face networking in order to grow businesses through relationship marketing. Ultimately, Darlene's greatest successes are being married to her biggest supporter, Steve, for 39 years, her two children, Derek and Krista, their spouses, and greatest of all, three grandchildren, with a granddaughter to be born this summer. Real quickly, I believe that learning the art and the science of how to sell without selling is the only way to achieve a high six-figure and seven-figure success. I'm so excited for you to hear today's conversation with Darlene. She has so much to offer. This is going to be an awesome conversation, and I'm really excited to get into it. And really quick, if you're a business owner, entrepreneur, or sales professional, and you haven't hit the level of success that you've always wanted or needed, or if you're stuck and needing a pivot in your business, in your life, in your bank account, in your success, or you just want more, and you understand the importance of having a coach to help identify the blind spots, increase accountability, and help with success strategies to take you, your business, your income, and your success to the next level. If this sounds like something for you, then head over to pivotpointadvantage.com/I want success. That's pivotpointadvantage.com/I want success. There's a quick application there that will lead to a phone call with me to see if we're a great fit for each other. Okay, enough of that. Darlene, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's great having you. How are you doing today?
I am doing freaking phenomenal today.
Freaking phenomenal. I love that. You know, you and I have known each other for a pretty long time, and I know that I shared a rundown with you of how the podcast was going to go. I want to go off the agenda a little bit real quick, and I'm really curious. You had a pretty cush job, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever made you jump off the cliff and become an entrepreneur and redefine yourself at 50?
Well, I think that a lot of it has to do with who I coached, the need to please. I realized that I was living a life that I perceived other people wanted of me, as opposed to giving myself permission to dream about what I would want or what could be, because that was so far from anything that anybody in my family had experienced. You know, we were kind of in a box, right? Mm-hmm. And having permission to dream that, it just became like a fantasy. oh, could this happen? And I was in a position where I got to pursue that dream.
That's phenomenal. So how different is it for you from having that cush job to being a business owner, an entrepreneur?
Well, how different is black and white?
That's pretty different.
Yes. You know, there's so many blessings that go with being a business owner and entrepreneur. That first word that would come to my mind is the freedom to make my own choices, which, let's just be transparent, it did get me in trouble at first when I transferred out of the corporate world, if you will, to being an entrepreneur, because it seemed like my number one value at first was freedom. Just learning how to really be responsible for my list as opposed to somebody else's list of success was really exciting to me. Mm-hmm. Still working on being really uber focused and uber disciplined about that. And just really, really enjoy the idea that I get to create my own success and then have my name and my, you know, my successes on it for me. Mm-hmm. So what do we say? The ceiling that doesn't end, right?
Yeah. You know, one of the things about being a business owner and an entrepreneur is there's definitely no ceiling, but guess what else? Yeah, there's definitely no floor.
You're sorry.
So what skill sets did you bring from your job to your business? I mean, why don't you share with them what you did? Because I think it's pretty imperative.
Yes. I was an educator, a Catholic school teacher. And I had done that for many years and then moved on to becoming a director of religious education for one of the local parishes here. Hmm. So I brought that skill set of teaching, engaging, that kind of environment. And then the skill set that I acquired through being a director is collaborating with parents and staff and leading teachers and that kind of thing.
Nice, nice. So I'm curious, what does success mean to you?
Success to me is having a goal and reaching it and then dreaming beyond it, if that so chooses to be what I choose to do. And that's really in both my personal and my professional life. I think that success is defined best by having a plan, creating the reality of it, and reaching it.
So what do you mean dreaming beyond your goal? If someone has a goal, isn't that what they want to attain? How do they dream beyond it?
So once you reach that goal, it's sort of like you get there and it's like, okay, now what could be possible? You know, and then if you want to pursue that avenue, you get that choice to do that.
So you're a fanatical, crazy, long-distance bike rider. So you do that obviously for enjoyment and maybe a little bit of sadistic behavior. What about your long-distance bike riding is applicable to the journey to success?
Well, I've really thought a lot about that because it's like, take what you know, take what you're successful, put it in place for the next adventure, right? In this case, success in business. When I am on that bike, it's where I dream. It's where I create. It is where I give myself permission to push myself beyond what I thought I could do. That right there alone is what I believe that I take right into business. You know, as I think about when I'm on my bike and I think about going up those hills, and that was my nice word, hills, you know, the struggle of that, but then reaching the top of that is just, it's such a great feeling. And I always, many, many times when I reach the top of a hill, there's been two hills I haven't mastered yet that I've gone on, but I know reaching the top of them, I always remind myself that it was so worth that struggle of getting up there. And because it's just euphoric for me.
Nice. Nice. So what does selling mean to you?
Selling is, for me, selling is getting someone to buy something that you've got, regardless if it's good for them or not.
Okay.
It's kind of a trigger word for me, really, at first. We had a lot of conversations over this about this. And I really actually even trace that back to, you know, how you can kind of look back in your past and see where that trigger might have happened. And certainly a lot of it was my imprint, the word sell or being sold to. as opposed to, you know, and another situation was I bought a car one time that I could not afford.
Mm.
6 months later was selling it and even drove off the lot thinking, man, I shouldn't have bought this. This was
way oh, wow.
for my budget.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course, you know, I blamed the sales guy.
That okay. So it has a negative connotation for you. So for me, selling and success are very synonymous because one must be able to sell in order to be successful. And one must have a successful mindset in order to be able to sell, which is why selling without selling is so important to me. It's so ingrained to me because I really sell nothing. Doesn't mean people don't buy. It just means I meet them where they're at so that I can take them where they want to go. And I stand on a platform of congruency, authenticity, and transparency. And I become a communicator, an educator, and avoid the whole sales tactics and skill sets. Look, it doesn't mean that they're not important. It just means that I have them to utilize. And most times, that's never even necessary. So talk to me about how you think selling and success are relative to each other.
So I always think that my mindset is focused on the value that I can add to whoever, whatever, you know, like the audience, a mm-hmm. client, let's just say, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I focus on the value that I can add for their need, right? Somehow in my mind, I don't hear the word selling. I hear the word adding value to somebody's life to help them. That is really how I look at the success part of that is, have I adequately communicated the value that I could add to them where they're stuck, if you will, or whatever their pain point is, so that they recognize that what I do can really help move them forward.
So tell us about your book, Journey of Intention, Life Made to Order.
So I haven't really talked about my book in a long time.
Well, there you go. Let's talk about it.
So I wrote that book. Really, it is what I went through when I decided to jump into the world of personal development and empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
And I started writing down some of the thoughts that I was going through, handling. I call it my dark journey, when I was on my dark journey.
Mm-hmm.
And how I really relied on scripture to get me through that. And how, like in Journey of Attention, there's always something at the end of each chapter that is a call to action. It was really the action that I did, right, in order mm-hmm. to be able to write that. So I look at that book as a very positive book. It's not a woe is me book. It is a you got this girl book. And it chronicles how I did that. You know, what I went through, some of the great, amazing life lessons that I learned from that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is living life with intention now.
Was there anything in the book that was hard for you to write about or expose, or was it easy for you?
I was very, very careful when I wrote the book about not hurting, most especially my family. You know, like I know that everything is a gift, right? Like mm-hmm. I know any experience I had as a young person is a learning, a gift for me now. And not everybody has that kind of mindset when they hear that, you know, something was done to them in childhood.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad even commented to me, oh, I'm so sorry that you feel like you had such a bad childhood. And I was like, Dad, are you kidding? I had a great childhood. There were just some instances that my perception, I got stuck in that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that was probably the thing I was most careful about, is I did not want to in any way, shape or form feel, you know, like my parents most especially, that they had done a bad job, if you will, of raising me, because I'm pretty freaking phenomenal. And thanks to them, here I am.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So it sounds like you're pretty good at getting outside of your comfort zone a lot with all the different directions that life has taken you. How has getting out of your comfort zone impacted you?
It's the best gift ever.
How so?
Well, because I feel like you can't ever move forward if you stay in your comfort zone. I believe that the first, let's just say 48 years of my life was in my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really until I was in my early 40s. I'd say I was about 42 when I really started like addressing my health and really working out in ways I never had before. So that made me uncomfortable, right? And now that I think about it, that was kind of setting me up for my future about taking a risk, taking a chance. I would have never dreamed that I would have ridden my bike 100 miles in a day and got up the next day and have been as excited to do that again, right? I believe that every time you make yourself uncomfortable, it is an opportunity to grow 100% across the board.
That makes me realize that in your bio, you had stated that you decided to recreate yourself when you celebrated your 50th birthday. You know, most people are winding down around 50, looking forward to those freedom years, those retirement years. And at 50, you decided, what? I mean, what? There's more? I've got to do more. I've got to ask more of myself. At 50, you decided to step into creating a business?
Creating me, who I always wanted to be. I just didn't ever allow that to happen. I mean, all that retirement stuff, you know, that happens when I'm dead. I cannot buy into the idea that it stops. It's like I'm just getting started. Really, when I allowed myself to step out of the box, okay, my perception, I get it, right? But that was my perception. I lived in this box, this checkoff list where, you know, it was at work, I did a checkoff list, in my faith, I had a checkoff list, all of that. When I decided to break down the boundaries of all of that, well, that is really, truly where I found life. And that did not happen until I was 50 years old.
Wow.
And I spent, you know, a couple of years thinking, damn, I'm old. But then when I really looked at it, I had more energy wrapped around this than I did when I was 30. Mm-hmm. So I trust in the timing that it's always perfect.
That's phenomenal. So really, we share a very similar belief that you're never too young or you're never too old to start pursuing your dream.
100%.
That's phenomenal. So I'm curious, and this is one of my favorite questions to ask people. If you could give your teenage self any advice, what would you say to yourself?
I used to say to myself, don't change a thing. Don't change a thing because I love where I am right now in life. Had any of that wiggled, this conversation wouldn't have happened, right? But if I could just give myself a little advice, it truly would have been find a mentor in your life that can help you. Because, you know, reality was when I said to my mom, I wanted to go to college, she said, we don't have money for that. You know, and I did not have that one person in my life that says, oh, that's BS. We'll figure this out. It just was the way it was. That's not bad nor good. It's just what it was. I think that would be the one thing. So of course I love to be a mentor, right? That works great for me because it's my give back of what I wish I would have had.
You believe that people who want to achieve something that they've never achieved before need coaches, need to surround themselves with expertise.
100%.
When you look at anybody that's achieved anything significant or substantial, they surround themselves with experts, with coaches. Coaches have coaches. I mean, I have 7 coaches.
Right. I would definitely never hire a coach that didn't have a coach. You know, because that doesn't make sense to me that you would be out selling yourself, quote unquote, selling yourself.
Coach. Without selling.
Without selling. Thank you. Yes. And not be receiving the benefits of that yourself. I mean, let's just be real. I could have never done this without a coach.
So what's been your number one key to success?
I think that my number one key to success is really learning from what people call failure. I see it as feedback and really always being open to learning from that because then you can move forward. You know, I read a book one time called Falling Forward. I think
Failing Forward by John Maxwell.
No, this was by a Franciscan.
Oh, okay.
Priest, but similar, very similar. I read John Maxwell's too, but it's that whole thing is that you have, you know, one step backwards, learn from it, and then you get to move forward. It's just when we refuse to learn the lessons that we stay in that.
So I'm curious, 39 years married, 39 years married. That's an incredible task, an incredible feat. When you step back and look at your 39 years of marriage, is there any similarity towards the effort it takes in having a successful marriage as the effort it takes to building a successful business?
Yeah, it's all built around the support system. Let's just be clear. Much of this marriage has been with my husband working out of town. Up until very recently. But having said that, you know, I was married at 19. I was very young, and I'll just be real transparent and say I was really immature, very naive, and probably more naive than immature. I did not really even recognize the blessing that I had in Steve. But when I say that he is my greatest supporter, he is my greatest supporter. And recognizing that support is what has always allowed me to move forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
And doing the same thing as an entrepreneur and a business owner, I've got myself surrounded by that support. You know, people who've got my back, so to speak, right? I love that, you know, Jim Rohn says, right? The five people you surround yourself with.
Yeah, yeah.
And so then I was listening to another podcast about that, and she was talking about naming those five people. You know, who are they? They're your cheerleader. Mm-hmm. They're your mentor. They're your coach. They're your friend, and they're your peer. And all of those people play a different role. And many times one person fits that bill. And how cool is that, right?
That's phenomenal. So, you know, I have a belief that sales and success are very synonymous, right? You must sell without selling in order to be successful. And you must possess success in a multitude of areas, predominantly your mindset, in order to be able to sell successfully without selling. So what's the best advice you can give someone who hasn't achieved success that they want yet?
Well, follow the dream. Look at where is your mindset? You know, what is holding you back? And recognizing that the dream is great, but you got to have a great plan. You know, so look at the plan. Who are you surrounding yourself with? You know, right back to what we were just talking about. And know that, you know, it's focus, it's discipline. All of those things need to be in place in order to reach your ultimate success. And having that spirit of learning, no failure, only feedback, and moving forward, you know, keeping your eye on the ball, and just being open to that learning.
So what do you mean by follow the dream? And I'm asking specifically because it sounds so easy. And reality is, I know a lot of people that have pursued their dream right to bankruptcy court. You know, they had their why, they had their dream, they chased it. And I say chase in air quotes because we all have our opinions as to why it worked or didn't work, right? So what do you mean by follow your dream? Let's take the simplicity out of it.
You know, your dream is your dream, right? There was a time when, as you well know, I didn't have a dream, right? And so when I think about that dream, I still see in my mind that success that I am seeking, that I will eventually have, right? But knowing, I don't even know if this is going to make sense, but to knowing if I always keep my eye on the ball, and then when you have those failures, learning from them, then surrounding yourself, you know, with the coach, taking the advice of the coach.
Oh, there's that.
Yeah, that leads to an ego talk, but that's a whole nother subject. Really, it's like everything. If you want it bad enough, it's doable, but you have to be open to some ways. Sometimes the way that you see it, it's not going to play out like that. You know, you have to be open to going, okay, that didn't work. What do I need to try now? Right? And that's what I mean by the dream. I mean, I know so many people who say the same thing. They have this dream and they just sort of let it fade off into the sunset because they see it as a failure. And I believe that if you want to pursue that dream, you know, this is all new to me, right? So I'm still in my infancy and or adolescence in a lot of it. But I know when I close my eyes and I look to what I really, truly want in my life, I can still see it. And I have to be patient that focus, that discipline, and knowing that failure is truly only feedback.
Does that make sense? That absolutely makes sense. See, for me, I believe that people pursue their dreams and pursue, I'm going to say in air quotes, because the number one person we lie to the most is ourselves. And we convince ourselves that we've done everything, right? You know that I'm a master trainer in neurolinguistics programming. I've been studying human behavior, neuroscience, and neurolinguistics programming for over 20 years. And the brain is incapable of identifying truth and fantasy, reality and fantasy. So when someone turns around and says, I've done everything, nothing's working, they believe it. They actually sold the objection to themselves and bought it. They were buyer and seller simultaneously. And reality was they haven't tried everything. Right? Everything is such a big word. As a matter of fact, I had an entrepreneur come up to me and say, I've done everything. My business isn't working. I said, everything. So tell me what specifically exactly you've done. The person mentioned two things and I looked at them and I go, do you not hear yourself? And they go, what? I've done everything. I said, you did this, you did that. And they shook their head and I go, you still don't see it, do you? And she shook her head no, and she goes, see what? And I said, two things is not everything. You could do this, you could do that, you could do this, you could do, and her face turned pale. And she looked at me and she goes, how did I convince myself of that? And I said, because your brain believed you. It's programmed to do that. Why would you ever lie to you, right? Reality is, it's all about getting real. And this leads me to something that you said that I want to ask you about. You said, it's important for them to identify what's holding them back. See, I have a belief if we're part of the problem, we can't be part of the solution. So how can they ever know what's holding them back?
Well, they get a coach. Because you're exactly right. When we're part of the problem, we cannot be part of the solution. So we better, it is very wise and important to have the humility to, number one, say that to yourself. If I'm part of the problem, I can't be part of the solution. And then step back and then find that person that can help you through that. Because that is what holds us back, is our mindset. I mean, 100%. And if that's true, then, you know, I was thinking whenever you said that, the entrepreneur said two things, that comfortable being uncomfortable thought came back into my head. Okay, she did the two things she was comfortable with. Now the real work starts, right?
Yeah. Talk to me about what role do you think a person plays in their ability to close business and be successful?
It's all about how their ability to close. And that to me, and in complete transparency, that's probably where I get to do the most work is in the close. Because if we cannot adequately express the value that we can bring to that particular client, customer, whatever, then we're never going to be successful.
Mm-hmm. What does closing mean to you?
Well, funny thing, mindset. So previously in the past, I would see closing as I have to get them to say yes so that I can reach either a number or make money or whatever that is. Okay. I really see the close as sharing with them what it is that you've talked about once again, right? And allowing them to find themselves in that conversation to where they can then see the value of what you do to allow them to move forward in their life. And ultimately that's the dream. I want for someone what I've been given, right? Pay it forward, so to speak. And to be able to adequately express that and not be so concerned of the, you know, oh my gosh, are they going to be a client or are they not? Are they going to move forward or not? But really, honestly, putting yourself in a space where you want to adequately convey to them how it is that they can really move forward in their life.
So for me, closing is stepping into someone's map of reality, stepping into someone's model of the world so that I can meet them where they're at. And when I say meet them where they're at, I'm talking about communicate in a style that can be heard, understood, so that they can grasp the concepts, so that they can see what I'm saying. meeting someone where they're at is being able to speak into their values, what's important to them, their values alignment, being able to understand what their needs, wants, and desires are, and ensuring that my product, service, and solution is in alignment with those, and truly being a resource, a solution, and not just a product, right? Mm-hmm. Closing for me is about attaching the need, want, and desire to the product, service, and solution, and walking them through their decision-making process to create an environment that's a win-win-win. And the only way that I can do that is to have 100% positive belief system in me, my capabilities, and the platform I stand on, and my ability to be of service with someone. And for me, that's very foundational in being able to sell without sell.
Yep.
So you own a Team Referral Network franchise. Where at?
In St. Louis.
St. Louis. So what is networking to you?
So networking is really going out and meeting people in an environment that you believe can, that they interest you, they mm-hmm. maybe have a product or a service that you can help them grow with.
Mm-hmm.
When you're out networking, you meet them and you want to take that a step further to really get to know them
mm-hmm.
and see how it is that you can help each other out in business. So for me, networking is going out, finding the right people to build relationships with or that you want to build relationships with, and then taking that next step to build that relationship.
Nice. So what's the best advice for someone looking to increase their professional network within the next 12 months? What do you recommend that they do?
Well, let's just be real honest. They probably need to get out of the Entrepreneur Witness Protection Plan.
Mm-hmm.
Get out there. I would highly recommend that they look into joining a referral marketing organization. Mm-hmm. Like, actually, let's just be real, join team.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you have, I always think about it in terms of we have our posse, we have our sales team gathered around us where we can really grow in that know, like, and trust and build that relationship. I think that is the foundation to getting out there in networking, as well as then going out to chambers. You know, you want people to see your face. So when you go out to chambers and you go out to all the networking events where you are meeting people to see if you can build that relationship, I think that that's supreme importance. It's certainly getting your face out there, mm-hmm. meeting people, just having those casual conversations with them, but certainly getting out of your house when we can, meeting people.
That's fantastic. And surrounding yourself with a sales team. I mean, where I'm from, Southern California, the average salesperson deems about a $60,000 a year base salary plus commission. You know, when you're out there networking, you're surrounding yourself with like-minded people who show up for the same reasons that you're showing up, and you're building a network of people to connect you to people that they know, which is very similar to what salespeople do. And the only compensation that they require and expect is for you to do the same for them. So it's a really effective, inexpensive way to create a sales force.
Right.
Right. As a matter of fact, what's team's tagline?
Don't hire a sales team, join one.
There you go. Right. So I'm curious, you know, we've talked about selling without selling. As a matter of fact, Sell Without Selling is the name of the podcast. What does selling without selling mean to you, Darlene?
Selling without selling is talking into the person's listening or their map of reality, like, mm-hmm. like you had alluded to earlier, so that they can identify with what you offer and how they can move forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in your face sort of selling like my imprint years were with that term, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's truly about selling without selling is if you have your product, service, or solution and you can express that to them in the way that they can hear it and they can see it, they can feel it, however that works,
mm-hmm.
then they can identify with that and see that that's a place for them to be able to move forward.
Fantastic. So you brought up a three-letter word a few minutes ago, ego. So how does ego impact someone's ability to sell, someone's ability to grow their sales, and someone's ability to achieve success.
So the ego to me is the same thing as saying those annoying negative thoughts, the itty bitty shitty committee, all that that gets in your way, that is telling you that, you know, whatever it is, you're not good enough, or you're too good for this, or whatever those thoughts are. To me, whenever I catch myself not showing up in a space of presence and a space of service, then that tends to be my ego that is sounding off. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be my, you know, my ultimate dream to be 100% present 100% of the time. I mean, mm-hmm. That's where our really greats lie, right? And the ego is, I get that the ego is there to protect you so many times, mm-hmm. but sometimes it's a little bit confused as to what protection is, in the sense of it gets in our way. Mm-hmm. It really gets in our way. And that, you know, that comes across as, you know, arrogance or even lack of confidence or, mm-hmm. you know, something like that.
So what's your number one networking tip?
Follow up.
What does that mean?
My number one tip is, when you are out meeting people, if you have not committed to following up with them, the ones that you meet, the ones that you're interested in, you're really just kind of wasting time, mm-hmm. because you have this, what, 2 to 5 minute conversation with someone. And if you do not follow up, that relationship goes absolutely nowhere. And the potential to help each other does not move forward either.
So how does someone follow up in today's world where technology just has so much information flying at people on a continual basis that time is of the essence for everyone? And that's a universal quantifier and a generalization. I'm just curious, how do people follow up? Because you always hear, I'm too busy.
Right. And that's exactly right. First of all, we do have programs that we can automatically feed information into a database, right? That can, mm-hmm. say, hey, it was nice to meet you. You know, my personality is that touchy-feely, feel like I need to personally reach out. And many times that's what I do is, mm-hmm. you know, I personally send out an email saying it was so great to meet you. And then remembering one piece of that conversation that makes that personal, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that it's worth your time if it's going to build business. Mm-hmm. Right? Sometimes I find it very relaxing in a way to even send a personal note through the mail. Very few people even get that anymore. So mm-hmm. I'll do that. If there's a relationship that I really want to pursue, I will make sure I do that.
Nice.
I know what works for me, right? It's always so cool these days to find up something personal in the mail that's not an ad.
Right.
Just being able to really make that point. Mm-hmm. It's worth your time if you're going to build your business around it.
Absolutely. So I believe that success leaves clues. And I get to interview a lot of really cool, successful people. And I like to incorporate into this what I call the random round. Mm-hmm. Because the random round allows me to ask one question randomly. And it allows our listeners to extract golden nuggets so that they can take what successful people do and incorporate into their life so that they can also duplicate success for themselves, right? Mm-hmm. Hence, success leaves clues. So welcome to the random round. And what does your morning routine look like?
Oh, my morning routine. I love my morning routine. It starts between 5 and 5:30, and I get up and I will make coffee, non-negotiable, right? Mm-hmm. And I allow myself, it kind of depends on the day. Sometimes my day has to start a little bit earlier than 8 o'clock, which is fine. Mm-hmm. I have to plan for that. But in the course of a day, I give myself 90 minutes between exercise, meditation, getting ready, how all that happens. And so generally my morning routine is the perfect morning routine is to get up about somewhere between 5, 5:30, take a shower, drink my coffee, meditate, pray, read. And then depending on if it's an opportunity to either exercise or get busy. So I like to really be ready to go by 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. That's what works really well for me. I'm a morning person, obviously.
Obviously. That's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that. Darlene, it's been a really awesome conversation, and I appreciate you coming on the show. Before we head out, how would be the best way for our listeners to get a hold of you?
Darlene@youempoweredservices.com. That's my email. That would be a great way to get a hold of me. That's probably the best way. You can always go to my website, youempoweredservices.com, and chat with me there. I'm on Facebook, and it's Darlene@youempoweredservices. It's another great way to get a hold of me.
That's awesome. So if you're listening right now and you want to connect with Darlene, those are the best ways to get a hold of her. She gave you her personal email address, she gave you her website, and she gave you where she's located at on Facebook. I really appreciate you coming on the show today, Darlene. Thanks so much for coming, and I seriously had a fantastic time talking with you.
Thank you. Right back at you.
Look, your success is important to me, and it's also important to me to make sure these episodes are valuable to you. I would love for you to do two things right now. First, I would love if you would head over to Facebook and join our Sell Without Selling community. That's Sell Without Selling community on Facebook. Second, I would love to chat with you, give feedback on the episodes, and find out any topics you're interested in to help make this more powerful and helpful to you achieving the success that you've always dreamed of, desired, and deserved. Head over to pivotpointadvantage.com/talktostacy. That's pivotpointadvantage.com/talktostacy. And let's get a 15-minute call on the schedule. Always remember, choice is a powerful thing and suffering is always optional. Get out of your way so that you can get on your way, so that you can have your way. Thanks so much for listening. I look forward to talking to you soon.
Whether it's mastering your mindset, communication, or success, we have more ways to keep you on your journey to greatness. Be sure to visit us at pivotpointadvantage.com for exclusive online training programs, success-specific courses, and more ways to connect to Stacy directly to help you achieve the financial success you've always desired, dreamed, and deserved. That's all available on pivotpointadvantage.com.